as friends in Christ. Would you take a moment and join with me in prayer? Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you that you have bestowed upon each of us this day the gift of life and of health, that we were able to enjoy the bright sunshine and the warming spring weather. For these good gifts, as well as the gifts of fellowship and food that many of us have just enjoyed in this your house, we offer thanks. For the faith that you have granted to all who call on your name, we offer thanks and praise. We ask now that as we hear your word, you would send your Holy Spirit among us, that in fact he may open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to heed your word, to believe and trust in it, so that by believing we may be strengthened in our faith. And finally, when the last day comes, have that faith rewarded with the gift of salvation. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Beloved, it's a joy to be with you here once again, the conclusion of our midweek Lenten series. It doesn't mean that we stop meeting together, for next week we gather together on Monday, Thursday, to celebrate both the commandment and a promise of our Lord, the promise that he will give himself for us on the next day and will be raised again, and the good command that we ought love one another. He has loved us. But as we come together this evening, we consider a church with a very contemporary name. It is the name Philadelphia. What do you think of when you think of Philadelphia? A big city. A bell, the Liberty Bell. How many of you thought of Rocky? Ta-na-na, ta-na-na. Nobody? What's that? I'm not that old. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what I think of? And I bet you there are a lot of people that did, that do think of this when they think of Philadelphia. And so if you'll excuse me just for a moment, I need to get something. Y'all think I'm pretty silly, I bet. You know what I think of when I think of Philadelphia? I think of 4th and 26. Remember a few years ago when the Packers were in the playoffs and all they had to do was stop Philadelphia on a 4th down? 26 yards to go, lo and behold, they throw a pass, they get a 1st down, we lose. There's not a lot of fond memories for Philadelphia for me. And tonight certainly doesn't help. Well, I'll tell you, you know what I wanted to show you? That you can't get someplace when it's locked unless you have a key. I didn't forget anything in the sacristy, and it was open. But each of you, as I left and fumbled with the door, thought, how is he going to get in? And so Kathy comes to the rescue once again and provides me with the key that opens the door. With that in mind, I'd like you to listen to the lesson for this evening, written to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. And I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are the Jews and are not, but a lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. And the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. I have found this time of Lent to be more trying than I thought it would be. An opportunity to preach each one of these letters to the church as it is there in Asia Minor, as it is throughout the world. The very word of Christ to his whole church. And you know what I found over these 6 or 7 weeks? I have found that there's not a whole lot of difference between any of these letters. And so to find differences and focuses, to find one thing to be able to preach about each text has been less than an easy task. But this evening, the letter is a little easier than those in the past. This is a letter that could have easily been written to any of us, to this congregation or to another, because it is from the Word, our Lord Jesus Christ, to a gathering of God's people, be it here in Wisconsin or somewhere in Kyrgyzstan, the gathering of God's people who have individually and corporately together struggled through hardship and pain. Philadelphia, the city in Asia Minor, was supposedly located at the end of a deep ravine and valley. And like St. Louis is called the gateway to the west for us, Philadelphia, way back when, was called the gateway to the east. And so all manner of travelers and all manner of businessmen would come in through the city to go out to the wide expanse of the whole Far East, wherein they would find many wonderful things, prosperity, fame, and fortune. And so through Philadelphia came many ideas, some good and many more bad. And it was this city wherein the people of God stood strong. They were, as Christ commended them, patiently enduring. To endure for the name of Christ is to uphold, or rather be upheld, in times of hardship. And merely hardship that all others experience? A lack of food during a drought? The loss of a loved one during wartime. No, patient endurance goes beyond the plight of all mankind. the patient endurance of which Christ speaks and commends the church at Philadelphia, is a patient endurance of the upset and the ridicule and the persecution because of who they were and in whom they believed. Another thing that I have found during this study, and I pray that you have too, is that the difficulties we face as Christians in the 21st century are really not that much different than the Christians of the first century. We too have been called to patiently endure. That is, to be upheld by Christ and His Word, by the fellowship of believers, that is, each other, during the times of persecution and hardship. Speak about Christ in the world, and you will endure hardship. Because an unbelieving world doesn't want to hear about one who would condemn it in its sin, on the one hand, but then with the other, deliver it from that very same evil. Why? Because the world would seek not to be delivered? Certainly not. But that it must then admit it has gone wrong. I think the greatest sin that there is the sin of selfish pride, wherein we, like Adam and Eve and all before us, believe that we can put ourselves in the place of God Almighty. I had the joy this past week to preach at a funeral of a beloved sister of ours, now called to eternal glory. And from Psalm number 90, the Psalm of the man of God, Moses, the opening verses of his psalm indicate that God is from Almighty to Almighty. Moses knows that God is God. And if God is God in his heaven, from eternity to eternity, and we are but his creation, we ought turn our ear to hear his word, and we ought turn our hearts to receive his blessing, and we ought turn our lives to do his will. This is the call to the church at Philadelphia. Christ has opened the door of heaven, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. That is you. Heaven is open wide because Christ our Lord has so gone in and welcomed us into his Father's home. What Christ has opened through his death and resurrection, no one can shut. And what Christ has shut out of our lives can no one reopen. When we struggle with sins of our past and regrets, how often does it come back to haunt us time and again? Having hurt a spouse, having harmed our children, having done something that we would never have desired to do, but in a moment of anger or upset, having yet done it, how often have we laid at night again, and that thought recurs time and again. But in Christ, your forgiveness is a guaranteed truth. When Christ shuts our sins away in the tomb, they remain there forevermore. And despite the devil's continued accusation, you can know and believe, as the church at Philadelphia is preached to, what Christ shuts away can no one reopen. That is the comfort that Christ tells John to tell the church at Philadelphia. And beloved, that is the comfort that God would speak through his precious word to you tonight. Whether you face the sorrow of having loved one lost to death in the recent days, as we have seen so many over this last month, in the years previous, the sorrow and the disappointment of unfulfilled hopes and dreams for yourself or for your children, the willful sins that we all continue to perpetrate despite knowing better, The attitude of anger and frustration, of hostility, even of subdued anger we hold one for another, even as we sit here in the house of our God. These are the things that have thus separated us from God. These are the things that cause sorrow and consternation, upset in our lives. These are the things, as St. James writes, that if left unchecked, ultimately lead to death. And it's not merely the death that means to be laid in state, but an eternal death that will keep us from our Father forever. The word of comfort that our Lord speaks is that He holds the keys of death and of Hades, and that by virtue of His overcoming death, by His resurrection, by His ascension into heaven at the right hand of God, we can rightly and joyfully pray along with the church at Philadelphia, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And because we know we have been so delivered, we have been granted opportunity to share that deliverance with a whole world that is yet bound up in sin and in death. The open door, the opportunity given to the church at Philadelphia is to speak this bold and wonderful word of God, that though we have been separated from our Father, we through the Son are once more reunited. Though we are enemies of God through Christ and His sacrifice, we are called friends. We are named as family. That though in our sins we are most miserable and poor in the eyes of our God, through faith in Christ, we have the inheritance of the riches of God's heaven. And this is something we ought not, we dare not, we cannot, if we have faith, keep to ourselves. For the purpose of our life is not to live solely for us, but rather the purpose of our life is to live as Christ lived for us, that we, beloved, might live for each other. There is a whole unbelieving world in our midst. And don't be naive enough to think that Merrill is not among them. We have the truth of all eternity. We have what might be called the medicine of immortality to cure the sick and dying soul of mankind. If we have such a precious gift, and there are those who are in such a desperate need, can we not deliver what God has delivered to us? Is it any wonder that He writes to the church at Philadelphia, "Hang on to what you have so that no one can take your crown"? It is that gift of God's gospel, of Christ's death on a cross, on His resurrection from the dead, that we are to cling to, and it is that message that we gather around. It is that purpose that we sit in these seats. It is with that intent that we sing songs of praise and adoration to Christ. It is for that reason we give of ourselves to keep the lights on and the heat up, and to provide food for missionaries, to give food to our neighbors in need through our shelters, to provide for those who are in desperate need through Haven or other agencies in our community. Dear friends, to love each other as Christ has loved us. Sometimes we pastors fall off on the horse, or fall off the horse on one side or the other. Sometimes we rail against the sins of the flesh, and rightly so. And sometimes we sweetly preach to the choir about how hard they have it and how wonderful they are. Law and gospel. What you must do And what if you didn't do, you're in trouble for. And what Christ has done for you. Is it any wonder that St. Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor, and says to study, that you might rightly divide this word of truth? Well, tonight is one of those nights that we preach comfort and the glorious gospel. Because each of you know full well that the consequence of sin in this world shows itself in all manner of difficulty and trial. And ultimately it shows itself in our death. Know that you are in Christ, and that Christ is here in and among you, his holy and precious church, even as he was among his people at Philadelphia, or Sardis, or Pergamum, or New York, or Old York for that matter. Because Christ is here among his lampstands, that we may stay lit, that we might serve as a lamp, a beacon, a shining city on a hill, that as we heard preached last Sunday, we might beckon and invite and point to Christ our Lord, the one who is raised up from the earth. So that as we heard in the prophet Isaiah, he might rightly draw all people to himself. And beloved, being drawn together and being drawn to Christ, we know and believe that we have the gift of eternal life. Live this gift out in your life today by sharing it with others. This is your calling, friends. And beloved, this is your comfort, that Christ has entrusted you with his kingdom, and our Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. Dearest friends, the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life.